God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is coming from our first reading from Acts chapter 3, as right before this section of Scripture, we have a miracle being done. God, through his disciples, takes a man who was lame and heals him. And I will admit, in today's world, many people have asked, Pastor, why doesn't God do these type of real special miracles here today? You know, I kind of would bet that if I sort of announced that we're going to have a healing of a lame man today, I would attract the crowds. There'd be standing room only. And wouldn't this be a good thing? Well, yes and no. Fair enough. Having the crowds hear the proclamation of God's word would be a good thing. But we have to ask ourselves, why did God allow special miracles like this to occur then and not now? And one answer to that problem is, back then, you have to remember, the disciples were kind of new at this. They didn't have the New Testament. Yes, they were with our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, he rose from the dead, but he wasn't always with them. And then 40 days later, you had the ascension, but you did have the promise of the Holy Spirit. Between all that, God did what some people would consider as special miracles to make sure that the disciples knew that, yes, they were on the right track. Also, another way of looking at this is sometimes in our world for today, like why the pews are not packed today, the special miracle seemed to overshadow the greatest miracle. Sure enough, if we started doing healings every single week here at Trinity, miraculous physical healings, would not the spiritual healing that Christ brings by his death on the cross be overshadowed? We'd be known as the place where you would just come instead of going to the hospital, instead of come to be healed by Christ himself through his own word and through his body and blood. Peter picks up on this concept. And so after this healing of this man who was lame, as this man is sort of clinging on to Peter, he does what? He points the crowds that are now being attracted by this and points them to the cross. Peter now explains things very clearly. And the first thing he explains is, by the way, you are the ones who crucified Jesus, who made this person healed. Talk about cutting right to the heart. He gets to the point very quickly. He says, you have crucified your own Messiah. You have rejected him. And Peter should know about rejection. He himself rejected our Savior three times. And then he speaks about a restoration. The apostles say that God healed this man to bring glory, not to Peter, not to John, but to Jesus. And uses that restoration as a springboard to speak about the resurrection. As God brought his own Son from the dead, whom you crucified, so he has conquered sin, death, and the devil. Peter explains it. He says, the reason why we rejected Jesus, it was done out of ignorance. It was done out of our own sinful aspects. But why should we now get reconnected to Christ? Why now receive Jesus? So that we will have redemption, forgiveness, cleansing. And by the way, this is the greatest gift that even overshadows this physical healing of a lame person. Then Peter goes on to an explanation saying, this is nothing new. We didn't make this up. This was even foretold even in the Old Testament through Moses, through Samuel, and the rest of the prophets and Psalms. It talks about Jesus' crucifixion, about his resurrection, and about the word of God continuing to go out, and finally also Christ's second coming. Peter sort of sets the stage really clearly for us and for the people back then. It is by God's grace this happens. Peter is just the agent. By God's grace, there is forgiveness. By God's grace, you are saved. And that these spiritual gifts of faith, of service, and even the spiritual gift that comes to us through the divine service. And why we call it the divine service? Because it is the divine that serves us through his word and through his sacraments. As we hear that word, we are forgiven. We know we are loved. We are informed. And Christ feeds us with his own body and blood through this bread and wine. Peter then uses this special gift that God has given him to do what? To reattract the crowds away from the physical miracle to the spiritual miracle. Peter uses this gift to the glory of God, not for his own personal selfishness, not for his own self-glorification, but to draw the people's attention to it's God's gift. Just recently, we had the opportunity here at Trinity to celebrate junior high confirmation. And in the midst of those confirmation vows, I don't know if one sort of stuck out at you. One of the vows said this: "Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?" So I want to speak this vow to you today, as we're seeing God giving gifts to Peter, and how Peter used that gift to glorify God. Do you this day, in the presence of this community, acknowledge that God has given you gifts? He gave them to you through your baptism. Do you believe this? Now, very often our sinful nature might start coming up on us and saying, you know, I'm just an average person here. I don't have any special gifts, not like what Peter had. Or I don't have any special talent. And that's the devil's way of trying to deceive us. Because God has indeed given you special gifts. He has given you gifts. Now, not necessarily the gift of healing a lame person. I'm not going to ask you that after you're done with the divine service today, that you go to the local hospital and lay your hands on people and restore them to health. No, but God has given you other gifts. God has given you other abilities. Now, before you allow Satan to sort of dampen that, let me bring up some words from Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a very talented man. I look up to him and his knowledge of theology, his ability to write, his ability to translate. And I'm going, wow, here's a man of many talents. Surely he never struggled with anything like depression. And we find out he did. In the midst of his depression, he had a very good Christian man come to him with these words: "No doubt God is thinking, what more can I do with this man? I have given him so many excellent gifts, and yet he despairs my grace." Now, Luther received these words. How? His reaction to these words were a great comfort to me. It reminded Luther in the midst of his depression, in the midst of his melancholy, so to speak, that yes, God has indeed blessed him with many gifts. And as we try to throw our pity parties for ourselves, as we dive into depression and thinking, I don't really have any special gifts, I'm not really special and important, God's word then spoke to Luther and said, guess what? You have been blessed by God. Don't despair his grace. It is God who gives gifts. He promises those gifts. He gives them to you. The devil is trying to convince you otherwise and trying to say, no, you are just the worthless person over there. God is saying, no, you have these gifts. And God gives us these gifts for a reason. Yes, for our benefit, but also for the glory of his kingdom. He gives these gifts so that his word will be glorified. Now, I will admit our world is somewhat attracted to what we consider spectacular gifts. But God is reminding us, What can be more spectacular than the forgiveness of sins? What can be more spectacular than the gift of faith? What can be more spectacular by being loved by God? To be reattached to Him through His own Son's death and resurrection. Yes, our world loves to look for these physical gifts. But God says, I have given you something much, much better. Believe and trust in what I have given you. Now also, fair enough, God has also given you some extra physical gifts. He has blessed you beyond your wildest imagination. We just need to open up our eyes and take a look around us to see the many blessings that God has given us. The devil is trying to convince us to close our eyes and to think that God has abandoned us. So this day, we need to hear God's word. We are not abandoned, but we are loved by God. God understands that we struggle with the day-to-day problems of this world, with sin daily in our lives and within us. And He says, I will give you that gift of word and sacrament to help you overcome those things. I will give you various gifts for you to use in this world of sin to show God's glory. God does give gifts, enough gifts, more than enough gifts for the task that is at hand. So for the early Christian church, God gave special gifts to Peter and to the rest of the disciples to do those little things to help give Christianity that boost, that direction it needed to get the disciples on the right path. We have witnesses and testimonies to that in the New Testament, especially through the book of Acts. But this day we rejoice and give thanks that, yes, God worked through Peter back then, and He works through you today. We give great praise and thanks that God is the author of all good gifts, and He continues to use those gifts through you here and now. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.